This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a brilliant physician, Dr. Ray Costantini. Dr. Costantini, aside from being a brilliant physician, is the co-founder of BrightMD. BrightMD plays right into sort of the space of virtual healthcare. He's going to talk to us today about some of the issues he sees in virtual healthcare, how hybrid care is evolving, what health systems should be doing, and a lot more. Dr. Costantini, can I ask you to take a moment to introduce yourself before we start to tee you up with questions?
Sure, Scott. Happy to. Quick background, internal medicine trained physician by background. I spent a decent amount of time on the healthcare delivery system side of things, building and leading the digital health services group for a very large West Coast health system before rejoining my entrepreneurial roots and starting BrightMD.
And talk to us for a moment about what BrightMD does, just so our audience is familiar with some context.
Sure. We often get put into the virtual care category, and I think that that's probably it's not unfair, and that we do enable health systems to deliver care remotely for their patients. But I think that that idea of telehealth or virtual care is really focused on removing geography as a barrier to care. Outside of the acute issue of COVID, when everybody needs to be thinking more about geography as a barrier to care, it's not the problem that health systems are really putting in their top five, top 10. It's important and it's valuable, and we should be making care more convenient for patients whenever it's possible. But the big problem that we've seen health systems struggle with really comes down to this supply-demand mismatch issue, where there's not enough clinician capacity to be able to meet patient needs. You know, if you think about rising cost of healthcare, why is that? Well, because we don't have enough capacity out there to be able to meet patient needs. Why are patient access challenges increasing? Well, because we don't have enough clinicians to see those patients in a timely way. The changing competitive landscape of healthcare, what's given these new entrant competitors the oxygen to be able to come into the market, the fact that we're not able to meet consumer expectations around healthcare delivery and make that as convenient and accessible as possible. Also, coming back to that same challenge. The other interesting thing is that it's not that we don't have enough clinicians, it's that we're not making good use of the time that we have from those clinicians. Docs are spending 70% of their time or more on administrative burden rather than on the real value creating high value aspects of healthcare delivery. It's slogging their way through EHR systems, asking information from the patient that they know that they needed before they even walked into the room. And so what we've done at BrightMD is really build a care automation platform. It's a tool that streamlines and automates the care delivery process, making it so that instead of spending all their time on that administrivia, clinicians can really focus in on diagnosis and treatment, exercising their clinical judgment at top of license. We've made it so that it's about 2 minutes of provider time to be delivering care that's got 90%+ adherence rate to evidence-based best practices and clinical guidelines, and patient and provider satisfaction scores that are just off the charts relative to other options.
And take a moment on, you talked about patient experience, patient expectations. Talk a moment about how the pandemic has impacted patient expectations.
I mean, I think it's dramatically accelerated patient expectations around the care delivery process. We've seen that patients now have experienced what it is to be able to access that convenient care where they don't have to be going into the clinic. It's accelerated those expectations pretty substantially. It's also accelerated the competitive landscape that's out there that health systems are having to navigate. Traditional health systems took a financial hit during COVID. They had to close up their doors. Digital health systems, you know, the Teladocs of the world, as an example, they actually got a net financial benefit from it. Because patients were moving to those models. You see the acceleration of Amazon care. I think health systems have to embrace not only that patient expectations have rapidly accelerated and that they're now competing not only with traditional health systems, but these big digital first new entrants, competitors.
And how will sort of this mix of virtual care, remote care, in-person care, how does this hybrid care model look? And how is that going to evolve over the next couple of years?
That's actually one of the most interesting things that I've seen come out of this is I think that there's been an increasing awareness that this idea of virtual care versus in-person care, it's anachronistic. It's an old way of thinking about things. It's not that you want virtual care to be competing with your in-person care. I think the better way to be thinking about it is really that we all need digital tools that make navigating that continuum of care options more efficient, more accessible, more affordable, more delightful. It's not one versus the other. It's how do we unite them to make the care delivery process better for patients and providers. I mean, if I was going to give an example around that, you know, if you think about something that really isn't amenable to care virtually, like a broken toe is a really good example of this. Unless we're really going to start getting into like Star Trek type situations, a broken toe is not something that's likely to be treated via telehealth very well. But if you broaden that and you think about that blended model of care, you can start that patient experience of care virtually. You know, take a photo of your broken toe, share some information about how it happened, basically interviewing that patient asynchronously, set that patient up with their appointment at urgent care. When they show up there with higher levels of stickiness, because they now know that they've already been interviewed, they already have an order placed for X-ray. And so they go straight back to imaging instead of sitting in the waiting room or sitting in an exam room. They can now get that imaging, get their toe set, have the follow-up X-ray done, and be completed with that entire visit. That's a blended model of virtual and in-person care in 30, 40 minutes, as compared to the 3 to 4 hours that it would take in a purely in-person model. And you're taking care of something that couldn't be handled virtually. So that's a really good example of that hybrid model that we really need to be embracing as an industry.
Right. Well, you're really with the patient throughout this care continuum, meaning virtual and non-virtual. It just almost like that health systems viewed their outpatients compared with their inpatient, as opposed to really viewing them as part of the same system. And the more you start to view this as part of the same system, the better off we all are, and the more efficient and probably expense saving for everybody as well, and better patient satisfaction too.
Exactly. Another thing that's interesting there is that's one of the ways that I think traditional health systems can continue to effectively compete with some of these new entrant digital first competitors who don't have that bricks and mortar experience, by uniting those experiences, by thinking about it as a hybrid model where we're using digital tools to be able to make the overall experience more connected and accessible. I think that there's a leg up that traditional health systems have relative to pure digital health systems that, you know, they run into a wall as soon as care requires a laying on of hands.
And your point on stickiness is so true on so many processes today. If a patient's already engaged the first 10 minutes, the first 15 minutes, the first 20 minutes with one system, they don't really want to do it again with another system unless they absolutely have to. Like there's a stickiness to getting to the patient digital first and providing a hybrid model, because once the patient starts to engage with someone, the switching cost emotionally, physically are high. People don't want to switch, even though it's only 10 minutes they've invested, whatever it is. So your point is really well taken. How do systems mix this hybrid concept and get great patient safety, great clinical efficacy, you know, great results and great convenience? How do they mix and develop hybrid models that do both?
Well, I think it's important to recognize what doesn't work around this. And, you know, when I think about that, I kind of think about like Blockbuster's response to Netflix. When Netflix came out and you could order your movies online from Netflix, Blockbuster's response was to create a digital front door to their bricks and mortar experience. You could reserve your movies online and then drive to Blockbuster to conveniently pick them up. I'm sure I don't need to tell the end of that story to anybody who's been awake for the last decade or two. That kind of an approach doesn't work. You have to bring tools and processes that really add value to the experience for your users. And I think it's important to recognize that you have health systems have two different users. You have patients and you have providers. And you need to be able to bring tools that bring that create value for both of those folks, for both of those users. You need to make the experience better and more accessible for the patient. But just doing that isn't enough if you're not improving the process for the clinicians. And that's where you start to really see improvements, not only in patient convenience measures, but around outcomes and cost. It's by streamlining that process, it's by giving the clinicians the tools. They're in a unique position to not only improve outcomes and cost of care, they're also in a unique position to be able to impact the patient experience of care. And I think that we often forget about that aspect. And I think we all want to be focused on patient experience, but I think we forget that bringing great tools to the clinicians is one of the best ways to be able to make that better as well.
How important is it that whoever's in innovation, whatever they're doing, whatever one's trying to do, that they're so highly focused on the clinician and the patient? You see innovation efforts that are all over the board. They're on commercialization, they're on this, that, the other. But to be effective, they really need to take the approach you're taking and talking about, which is highly focused on the clinician and the patient. If we just focus on those two and filter out everything else, then we're likely to really improve things, aren't we?
I do think so, Scott. I think that in the end, that is the business of healthcare. It is a service industry. You are selling clinician insights and capabilities and time to patients in order to improve their clinical outcomes and experience of care. And so, I do think that recognizing that and then focusing your strategic initiatives around the outcomes that you're looking to achieve. I think that's the other piece. It's, I often get asked, I hear people asking about their, what's our digital strategy or what's our telehealth strategy? And to me, that feels a little bit like putting the cart before the horse. It really isn't a digital strategy or a telehealth strategy. The same way that you don't have a digital service line or a telehealth service line, you don't have a telephone service line. So having a telehealth or video service line doesn't make a ton of sense either. It's understanding what you want to achieve. What's your focus for your strategic initiative? Are you looking to improve patient access, patient acquisition or retention, improve provider burnout, reduce the cost of care, accelerate your transition from fee-for-service to value-based care? Those are strategic outcomes. And in order to achieve those, then you have to be thinking about those patient and provider experiences that let you accelerate to those outcomes, and then the digital tools that make that better, faster.
Well, that's right. I mean, you really want to start with, what are we trying to achieve? We're trying to make it so that patients want to work with us. We're easy to work with.
Yes.
So part of that is making it easy to access the system and start to get integrated in the system digitally. Part of it is making sure your call center actually works, so then you call, you're not on hold for 10 minutes. Part of it is making sure you actually show up to the hospital. You've got all your records and care automated to the right spot, so they're ready for you, and you're not spending, if you thought you spent a half hour in front on digital or on phone, you're not getting there and having to spend 3 hours to get ready for something when a lot of that should have already been done.
Right? And it's, in some ways, it's even more foundational. I mean, like, I tease about this often. Whoever said that there's no such thing as a dumb question never had to fill out 10 pages of intake forms when they showed up at their doctor's appointment. I mean, by the time you've asked me my name the fifth time, you've asked me 4 dumb questions. I mean, those kinds of things have to be part of the efficiency and experience of care for patients and for providers. There's such a thing as dumb questions to ask providers as well. I mean, when they have to use 100 clicks to finish a single visit inside of their EHR. That's the average number of clicks that a clinician spends for one visit. I can't think of the last task, the last thing that I had to do that took 100 clicks to be able to do it. And that's what we're putting in front of our clinicians and then telling them, you need to do that. You also need to be seeing more patients a day because we've got this backlog of patient need that's out there, and you need to be doing it faster.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I've gotten to the spot when somebody says there are no dumb questions, and it's meant to encourage people to ask questions,
Yes.
But we all know that there are dumb questions. You want people to think a little bit for themselves. You want to make it easy for them. You don't want to ask them the same thing 10 different ways, unless you really have a purpose in it. If you're a prosecutor or an investigator trying to figure something out, maybe you do have to ask it 10 different ways. But generally, there are, and it's trying to make it easier for the clinician and the patient every single time. And your point is well taken. What if systems don't embrace this hybrid model? They don't do this. What does that mean? What risks do they have if they don't make this effort?
You know, there's a lot of them. I mean, at a very foundational level, I think they risk, I truly believe that they risk becoming increasingly irrelevant. The consumer expectations around healthcare have accelerated so much. The truth is, they're the same thing, these new entrant competitors. I mean, Walmart's stated goal, strategic goal, is to be the largest primary care provider in the world. Teladoc would be more than happy to eat health systems lunch. They would be more than happy to cream patient visit volumes off of traditional in-person or even video-based settings and be able to move them over to the Teladoc experience. The merger of Teladoc and Livongo broadens them from urgent care into the chronic disease space. I mean, anybody who doesn't think that Amazon Care has traditional in-person care inside of their crosshairs arguably isn't paying attention.
Your point is really well taken. If at the end of the day, you know, it's all about the patient, and patients are very smart. Regardless of what people try and say, patients and people are generally very smart. And if patients find easier ways to get what they need, they ultimately move towards that. It's for a long time, you know, primary care physicians discouraged people from going to urgent care. And patients realized, oh my God, I don't have to make an appointment. I don't have to deal with the front desk. I just go to urgent care and they take care of my problem. Patients are very smart and they find solutions. That's how we all are. It's mothers of the, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. It's so true though that people find better ways. And if digital competitors and others make it easier to access the care you need and want, people will find it.
I had somebody tell me something interesting, Scott. It was a different way to look at this. They said that patients are healthcare consumers until the moment when they're actually receiving care. And that to me was a really interesting way to be able to, I often heard this debate, are patients patients or are they consumers? And the answer is that they're both. They are a healthcare consumer making consumer-driven choices all the way up until the moment when they're actually receiving care. And if we don't embrace that mindset of the healthcare consumer who has consumer-driven choices, we don't get to tell them what they have to do. That era is gone.
Even when they're in the health system getting their patient care, depending on what it is, they're always making judgments every moment about, is this my first choice to come back here or not? What do I have to come back here for? Do I not? You know, is this where I want to be? I mean, they're always making those consumer choices.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even if they're not in the process of making it right that moment, they're gathering information about how they'll make their next healthcare consumer choice. And the other interesting thing, too, I think, is that we have to, like, these technologies and this blended model and the tools that enable it are also going to be a really important way for health systems to wean themselves off of this innovation crutch that they've had around waiting for payment to change. And that one to me is a really fascinating one. I was in a conversation with somebody the other day and they were talking about this crutch around payment. And it's an easy one for health systems to lean on and say, well, we'll do that once payment changes. And the truth is, if you lean on that payment crutch, you limp along. And these other folks who are thinking about new ways of making healthcare monetizable and sustainable and commercially viable in other options, they're going to come screaming past you as you limp along on your payment crutch. And it's these tools that make the care delivery process radically more efficient. They don't just change where healthcare can happen. They change how healthcare happens. It's those kinds of tools that are going to be able to accelerate that process and get them off of that innovation crutch.
No, it's so interesting that you mentioned that, because you have so many different systems that have appointed people in charge of innovation and all trying to do very, very great things. And yeah. Some of them very adept at and very focused on something we talked about earlier, the patient and the clinician, and some of them all over the place, and some of them sort of in, you know, trying to figure out what their roles are and what they're trying to do. In any event, Dr. Costantini, I want to thank you for joining us today. Always brilliant, always great insight. I appreciate you joining us very much. Again, Dr. Ray Costantini, CEO of BrightMD, co-founder of BrightMD, thank you very much.
Pleasure, Scott. Thanks so much for the time today.